Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to our special online service. My name is Tim, and I'm one of the pastors here at Enfield Town Community Church.
And my name's Rachel. I'm one of the members here at this church, and I'm also Tim's wife.
Now, whether you're tuning in as part of your normal Sunday morning routine, or whether this is your first time with us today, we're really pleased you've joined us as we consider together the question, what difference does it make following Jesus in the time of pandemic?
And over the next hour, we're going to take time to pray and to engage with this question in different ways, especially as we open up God's word together. But as we begin, the band are going to lead us in a song. Feel free to join in at home or to simply follow the words on the screen. The song is called When I Was Lost, and it's a brilliant description of someone being saved by God. Let's sing. One of the things we love to do as Christians is to pray and to ask God for his help. So as we begin our time together, let me lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the truths in the song that we've just sung about. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are God who saves. We praise you because you are not distant from us, but have drawn near to us in the person of Jesus. We praise you for Jesus and his work on the cross. That means you could take messy people like me and forgive them and begin to change them. Lord, please help us to trust you. We pray, please, this morning that you'd help us to concentrate. Please help us as we look at this big question we're considering today. Would you show us who you are as we open up your word? Father, we pray for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, boys and girls, do you know that this is the second time we've all got together to think about what difference it makes following Jesus in a time like this? And that's because we believe there are loads of differences. In fact, for a minute, I want us to think about a word we thought about last time we answered this question. And it's this word here. It's the word hope. Can you say it with me? One, two, three.
Hope. Hope.
Now, for at least one person watching today, this is their name. But for most of us, hope is a word to describe a longing for something. So let me give you some examples. I hope that my football team, Crystal Palace, win a trophy this year. Come on, the Eagles! Pack it in. I hope, here's another example, I hope that I get a really big, and I mean like big, Christmas present in 82 days' time. Yeah?
Yeah.
Rach, you got any examples for us about hope?
Okay, I hope that Tim shaves off his beard soon.
Yeah. What? Do you not like it?
Not a fan. No.
I thought you loved it.
Not a fan. No, okay, one thing is I do really hope that at least once Tim would save me one biscuit from our biscuit tin.
What? I don't eat them all.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I really don't, boys. Alright, can we try and think about some nicer examples? So far you've been a little bit mean.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Some nicer examples for the boys and girls.
Okay, I really hope that that leak above your head gets fixed soon.
What leak?
That leak.
That was more water than I was expecting from that leak. Steve! Just me. Great. Well, there you go. There's some different examples of what it is to hope and long for something. But as you can see, some hope isn't very certain. Now, I think, actually, you wanted to get me wet, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So, Tim, what's the difference then? Don't all people have hope in this way? What makes hope any different from those who are following Jesus?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Rich, and you got wet as well, didn't you?
I did get quite wet, actually, yeah.
I'm glad you asked. Well, because actually it's a big difference, okay? You see, normally when we use the word hope, we say it with a sense of doubt. You know, it's often wishful thinking. Crystal Palace winning a trophy, it's not likely to happen. And actually, I am sorry, I'm not great at leaving any of the nice biscuits. So those kind of things are uncertain. But for Christians, there is a hope that is completely certain. It's what the Bible calls the hope of glory.
But what does that mean?
Well, ultimately, the Bible says that the hope of glory is being friends with Jesus forever. It's the hope of a life that doesn't have tummy aches or coronaviruses or those things that spoil life.
That sounds great. But how is that possible?
Well, it's possible only because of Jesus. We don't deserve to have this hope because we've all done things that are wrong. But Jesus died on a cross and rose again and now prepares a place in heaven for all who would trust in him.
Wow. But what about now? How does that help now?
Well, looking to that certain hope that Jesus promises, it helps us to trust Jesus in the mess now. If Jesus is willing to give us that certain hope, then I can trust in him in all that happens now. Isn't that amazing, boys and girls? Do you know that certain hope? Right, can someone chuck me a towel? Thanks, mate. I'm a bit wet. Rach, what's coming up next?
Well, when we recorded the last COVID special back in early May, none of us could have guessed the impact it would continue having on our world and on us as individuals. It's been a really difficult time for many. Isolation and losing loved ones, to say the least. Though, of course, lockdown has certainly had some benefits. We caught up with a few people from our church family to hear how they've been getting on.
This is really good.
What's been good about lockdown?
Lots of free time.
It's made people focus on home and the important essential things and forget about the unimportant things.
What have we enjoyed during the pandemic?
Slowing down a bit.
Focusing on fewer things, really, a slower pace of life.
Force me to slow down.
Reading books that have been sitting on the side for years.
People had a bit more time to talk.
And having more time.
Family times, but yes! Happy days at home, family.
I get to go on Daddy's tablet more.
More support, a good way of keeping fit.
not being able to come to church, see friends, be together.
The physical isolation, not being able to see people in person, hug, find out how they're really doing, which is a massive part of church life and family.
My dad has been diagnosed with a terminal illness and has been in hospital, so we've not been able to see him, and that's been very difficult.
And I really miss my mum cooking for us every Sunday and her dishwasher.
Right, what's been bad in lockdown?
Free time. That's my answer.
Genuinely?
Yeah, what's been bad in lockdown? Free time. I've hated having free time. It's been good but awful.
Just obviously the really depressing news feeds, but also not being able to meet with church to sing together.
What have we found hard?
Lockdown. Yep, and not having sleepovers.
Oh yeah, with our cousins.
And what's been a bad thing about lockdown?
We can't have friends to farewell.
Missing being with people.
Not being able to travel.
It makes a difference following Jesus, because I know that even if my dad dies before I get to see him, that he's going to go to heaven, and that one day that means I will see him again, and that is a great comfort to me.
And that God is in control, and I think that brings a lot of calmness and peace to the situation.
Hope.
He's our rock, our anchor, our fortress.
And we know that we've got heaven to look forward to, that this isn't our forever home.
The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, and that means I can trust him.
Hope, for me.
Is it good to know that he's in control?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to know that Jesus is in control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Consistency.
As a Christian, I have definite certainties in God, so I know for certain what he's like, what his character's like, because he's revealed that to me in the Bible.
The one person who hasn't changed, the one person who is utterly the same, utterly dependable, utterly faithful, utterly there for his people, is my Lord.
Encouragement and prayers among Christians.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed that. And I'm sure while watching that video, you could relate to a number of the responses, and perhaps you could add some different answers. But I wonder what you made of the responses to the final round of questions, about the differences it makes to being a Christian during this time.
In a few minutes, we're going to open up God's Word, the Bible, and dig deeper into another huge difference following Jesus makes. This time, we're going to focus on the subject of sympathy. And so as we prepare to do so, we're going to listen to a spoken word on the subject, sympathy. Enjoy.
Sympathy. I think we're seeing it so much today. When we're together, yet apart, whatever side of the political ballpark, we're all wishing the virus would leave us so we can once more smother our loved ones in a hug, would be free to be within a meter, sympathy. It's everyone seeing a sea of masks, concealing any inkling of emotion. It's everyone sailing an ocean of isolated beings, avoiding social commotion. It's a world that has changed, chained to this brand new norm, sympathy. It's what we feel after weathering the same storm. A sense of community, despairing at herd immunity, seeming to self-evaluate all humans as cattle, sympathy. The shared battle within as news rattles with the heavy, growing statistics, no slowing logistics, the practical, complicated implications of the duration spent inside. We're on the same side. But don't sit on my side. 1 bubble. 2 meters. 3 phrases, always to save lives. 4 months with so much gone as we tried to hide. 5 more of the same, that's what they're saying on TV. 6 people only, all we are all experiencing. This surely is sympathy. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, noun, sympathy. The feeling of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune. Yes, that's what I feel, more attuned to the aching of the world than before. But sympathy is not limited to tragedy at someone else's front door. The second definition, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, noun, sympathy. Understanding between people, or common feeling, knowing it's real, that's the sympathy with which I'm dealing. It's not just simply sorry or worry for the occasions that have been banned. It's the joint pain, the joint tears, the joint weariness. It's to understand. So according to scripture, that is God-inspired words, we have a saviour who does not merely feel bad for our hurt, but stands under it too, understands, who's felt the weakness through his own bleeding hands. In all of this, I have a God who holds firm with me. We have a God who with us feels sympathy.
Good morning, my name's Nathan. I'm one of the other leaders here at Enfield Town Community Church. We come back this morning to this question that we set ourselves to answer. What difference does it make to be a follower of Jesus during this time of a global pandemic? If you joined us for the last one of these that we put on, then I said last time that as followers of Jesus, we're certainly not immune from the virus itself. Neither are we immune from its sometimes devastating effects. As a group of believers in our Lord Jesus here in Enfield Town, we have been through all the ups and downs, the highs and lows that everyone else has experienced over the last 6 months. So what difference does it make, if any, to be a follower of Jesus? To treat Jesus as our Saviour and have him as our God at this particular time? Well, I want to put it like this for us this morning. In Jesus, the one we follow, we have a sympathiser, a God who feels sympathy for us. I want to read to you this morning a small portion of the Bible. It's found in the New Testament, and as I read, I want you to listen in for what it tells us about Jesus. Listen out for that word, sympathy. This reading is from a part of the Bible called Hebrews, and it's in chapter 4, and covers just a few phrases, a few sentences, which we call verse 14 through to 16. So Hebrews 4. Verse 14 through to 16, the word should appear beside me here. I also probably just need to explain another word that'll pop up. It's the word high priest. The high priest is a role in the Bible story, as you read through, of someone who represented people to God and who represented God to the people, like a mediator, a go-between. And here Jesus is described for us as a high priest. But listen out for that word, sympathy. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Did you spot it? Right there in the middle of that short Bible reading, we're told that Jesus, the Son of God, who has ascended to heaven, feels sympathy for our weaknesses. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to read that Jesus feels sympathy for us? Well, it means that our God, the one who we worship, the one that we look to for help, has sympathy for us as we find ourselves in times of weakness, when we are conscious of our need of help. Sympathy. Our short video kind of helped us to think through what that word means. Sympathy is both that feeling of being moved to pity. We as it were, feel something for the pain of others. But it also means, or can mean, to understand, to truly through a shared experience, understand the pain that someone else is going through. And that's the kind of sympathy that is being described for us here. As we faced daily at the moment with our mortality, daily with figures of job losses and financial pressures, of people's loneliness and isolation. As a follower of Jesus, I have in Jesus, the one I follow, someone who sympathizes with me in the very weaknesses that I face. I'm sure that all of us have been moved to sympathy over these last months. Feelings of pity and of sorrow for those who are around us. Sympathy for those who have lost loved ones. Sympathy for the health workers who have had to work so hard on the front line fighting COVID, as it were. Sympathy for those who've lost their work, who've lost their identity. Sympathy for those who've had to stay at home and not see others that they know and love. But I think it's more than, isn't it, at the moment than just a feeling as we look on. Because it's not just that we're looking on at people's problems. In reality, we're all experiencing this together. And so our sympathy is stirred because we stand under the same problems. We understand because we're suffering with them. And that is sympathy. And as followers of Jesus, we have one who feels sympathy in its fullest sense for us as we find ourselves in weakness, conscious of our need of help. The word in the Bible, that part of the Bible we read that's translated sympathy, it is a word that kind of mashes up two words together. I don't know if you're kind of into words, but the word sympathy in the original language brings together two words, the words with and the word suffering. And so you can already see the thing. It's about suffering with. That's what sympathy is. Someone who has suffered with, suffered alongside, suffered in the same things. And in Jesus, we have someone who has suffered with, shared in, and stood under the sufferings that we face as we live in this world. Jesus truly understands. Does that fit with your view of God? A God who is able to feel and understand the very things that you are going through, COVID related or otherwise? For many, as you get them to talk about God, God is often a kind of an apathetic figure. He has apathy. That is, that he has no feelings and emotions. And maybe that's your view of God. This kind of power that just sits out there somewhere. For many, God exists. And yes, he's a person, not just a thing. But he has no participation in the physical realm. And with a God like that, therefore, how could God possibly expect to understand the feelings and problems and emotions and needs in this world if he's detached from it? How could God possibly understand what you or I are going through? Yet, right here in the Bible, we are told that Jesus, the Son of God, who now stands in heaven, feels sympathy for our weaknesses, for our trials. He understands. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because he became one of us. He shared in our humanity. He shared with our sufferings. He became one of us. in the Bible, a little bit earlier actually, in this book of Hebrews, it tells us that he became like us. He was made like us. He became fully human in every way. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took to himself a human nature. He truly became human. That's the Christmas story. God made flesh. God standing with and under the very same struggles and sufferings that we go through as we live in this world. Hebrews 4 verse 15, the reading that we had, tells us that in verse 15, he was tempted in every way just as we are. He had the full human experience. He understands what it is to be you, because he stood under the very same things that we stand under. He suffered with us. Sympathy. What difference does it make being a follower of Jesus during this time of COVID-19? Well, in following Jesus, I have a God who feels sympathy, moved with pity, and who understands the weaknesses and the trials that we are going through. In my helplessness, in our helplessness, I have someone in heaven who truly understands the experience of living here on earth. He's not sitting out there completely detached from all that's going on down here. No, he has experienced it. He feels it because he's lived it. And when I'm tempted to think to myself that no one gets it, no one gets what I'm going through, no one understands this place I find myself, the pressure I feel, the anxiety I might feel, the worry I might feel, then I need to remember Jesus. Jesus does understand. Jesus feels sympathy. He gets it. Now that kind of makes a difference to those of us who follow Jesus in two particular ways. Two ways that make Jesus essential whether you feel like you need him or not. And here's the first way. Because Jesus is a sympathizer, one who suffered with us, it means that I can ask for mercy when I mess up. I can ask for mercy when I mess up. Let me read you again a little bit of the portion of the Bible here. Verse 16, it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy." Now this word mercy, very often in the Bible, not always, but very often, is associated with forgiveness. Forgiveness for offending God, forgiveness for our sins. Now, Jesus didn't just come into this world to share in our sufferings, to feel a sense of pity. It's not just so that he could sit in heaven and say, "Oh, I really feel for you guys down there right now." No, Jesus came into this world not just to suffer with us, but he came to suffer for us. I don't know about you, but when I'm under pressure, you often get the worst side of me. It might be grumpy or a bit shouty at home when I'm tired. It might be short with people where I work because I've just got too much to do. When I'm in a time of weakness, through whatever causes that weakness, but when I'm in a time of weakness, I often find that I sin against God or against others, or the worst of me comes out. Can you relate to that? During the pandemic, I think we've seen everybody squeezed a bit, haven't we? Everyone being confronted with their weaknesses. And sure, there's been some good things, but I've really seen some bad things as well during this time. I've seen perhaps more fights in shops than I thought I'd ever see. I've seen more arguments on the streets about people wearing masks and not wearing masks. Shopkeepers being abused. If you take a lemon and you squeeze a lemon, what comes out of the lemon is sharp and bitter. But actually, isn't that true of us? Sadly, when you squeeze us, what comes out of us is often sharp and bitter. When weakness comes and temptations are on us, what comes out of us is not good. We get stuff wrong before God, before others around us. And that's what the Bible calls sin. What's inside us, truly inside us, then comes out of us when the weaknesses come and the pressure is on. But in Jesus, the sympathizer, the one who stepped into this world and suffered with us, we have a saviour who was squeezed and under pressure and trial in every way we are. And yet, verse 15 here tells us that he was without sin. He did not sin. He lived the life that we should live. He lived the life that we haven't lived. In fact, the Lord Jesus stood under the greatest of sufferings as he went to the cross. Many of you will know the Easter story. Nail-pierced hands, faced in this moment of Roman execution, he faced not just physical agony, but he faced oppression and persecution and mockery. He wasn't just suffering with humanity as he experienced the brutality of one man to another man, as he experienced betrayal and suffering and hatred and oppression. Now, in this moment of suffering, he was suffering for humanity, taking upon himself the sufferings that I deserve for my sins. Now, why did he do it? Why did he take to himself humanity? Why did he come and suffer for us? So that we now might have one in heaven who stands in heaven as a high priest who can give mercy, forgiveness to me when I mess up. I have one I can ask, one in heaven who I can ask for forgiveness when I've been squeezed by my weaknesses and what comes out is not good. When I've hurt those that I love because my words have been harsh, or when I've plunged myself into some addiction to numb the pains of my sufferings. Every one of us needs this type of sympathy from Jesus, this suffering of Jesus. We need his mercy. And we need it in a time of pandemic, or we need it in a time when there is no pandemic. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever asked Jesus for mercy? Have you ever asked him for forgiveness? Jesus, the sympathizer, not only feels pity for my sinfulness, that when I'm squeezed, what's good comes out, what's not so good comes out, but he's the one who suffered for my sinfulness to give mercy to those who ask. And he does that whether that's for the first time or for the 500th time. Because he suffered for me, I can ask for mercy from him. Will you ask him for that? That's the first difference in having Jesus, the sympathizer. I have someone I can ask for mercy when I mess up. Second difference, though, is that because Jesus suffered with us, because he understands and lived under the sufferings we go through, I can ask him for help when life hurts. I can ask him for help when life hurts. Listen again to verse 16 in the part of the Bible we looked at. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The sympathy that I have and can feel for others can only go so far, can't it? It's not much more than a feeling. What can I possibly do to help? And the question then is, well, is Jesus' sympathy the same? You know, crudely, so what? So what that Jesus feels sympathy with me? So what that he understands what I'm going through? What good does that do for me in the suffering? Well, the sympathy of the Lord Jesus always includes an element of active help, especially as this part of the Bible encourages us to those who ask for his help. The word help here is the word that means to come to the aid of somebody, somebody in trouble. And in Jesus, you see, we have someone who comes to our aid when life hurts. As someone who has lived through weakness, he is able to help us and administer the help we need in our weakness. Often, the help that he brings doesn't always take away the problem. In fact, it's more about giving us what we need to get through the problem. Think of Jesus in his own sufferings. He could have just taken away all the suffering, but instead he endured it. And that is the experience of many of us who follow Jesus. He gives us help from heaven when life hurts. Because he suffered with us, he is able to help us in our sufferings. Have you ever asked Jesus for that help? Have you ever asked him for the help that you need when life hurts? Because Jesus, our God, is a sympathizer, we can confidently ask for that help. So what difference does it make being a follower of Jesus at this time? Well, in Jesus, we have a sympathizer, one who feels sympathy for us, one who has shared in the sufferings that we go through. We have one in heaven who truly understands the experience of living here on earth. Jesus has suffered with us, and Jesus has suffered for us. He's not apathetic to your struggles. He's not detached from our world. No, he feels pity because he has shared in those experiences with us. I want to say to you this morning that if you're already following Jesus, then this is really a reminder of what we have in the Lord Jesus. In verse 14, it says, "Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Let's not give up holding on to Jesus, because where else are we going to go to for help in this time? We can go to Jesus. We can keep asking him for mercy when we mess up, when those weaknesses, when these times of pressure bring stuff out of us that isn't good. And we can keep asking him for his help when life hurts. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, or Jesus is not yet your God, your Saviour, then why not today ask him for that mercy that we all need? Mercy for the sin that's so often squeezed out of us, especially by weaknesses. And why don't you run to him today for help? You know, he knows what it is to be you. He knows what it is to sit under the sufferings that we go through in this world, and he extends a hand to help. To help you with your problem of sin, and to help you with the problems we face in our sufferings. Will you this morning seek that help from Jesus? Because of Jesus, the sympathizer, the one who suffered with us, you can confidently ask for mercy and for help, much needed mercy and much needed help. I'm going to say a short prayer now. If you want to join in with that, simply just say Amen at the end. In this short prayer, I'm going to ask Jesus for that mercy and that help. And if you want to do that today for the first time, then please just join in. And maybe at the end, let somebody know through the connection details that you've done that today. But let me say a prayer. And if you want to say that with me, just say Amen at the end. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have sympathy towards us because you have suffered with us. Thank you that you suffered for us on the cross. Sorry for my sin. Sorry that I have messed up so many times. Please forgive me. Please show me mercy. And please give me help in the areas of my life where it hurts. Help me in my time of need. Amen. Well, thanks so much for listening. I'm going to hand back to Tim and to Rachel.
Thanks so much, Nathan, for that. Friends, I hope you found that truly different this morning. Different in the sense that what Jesus offers is found nowhere else and in no one else. Now, a good way for us to respond is to continue in prayer, to call to Jesus our mediator. Rachel and I are going to lead us in a prayer for a few minutes. And if you want to make these prayers your own, then simply say Amen at the end. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, our great high priest. Thank you that he truly does sympathise with us, that he knows what it's like to live in this world with all its frustrations and difficulties, and yet was without sin. We thank you that he was perfectly qualified to die for us and forgive us our sins. We thank you that we can now boldly approach you, confident in the name of Jesus as we do. And Father, we do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you that Jesus not only sympathises with us, but can help us in the hard times. We pray especially now for those in difficult times. Father, we pray for our church family. We pray that they would find rest in you this week with all the difficult situations they are facing. Please would you draw close to those we know today who are unwell, that they would look to you for their comfort. We especially pray for protection on our church family and those known to us who are having ongoing treatment this week. May they have peace of mind leading up to their procedure, knowing you are with them. Finally, Lord, we commit our world to you at this time of pandemic. We especially pray for our government, that you would give them wisdom as they lead our country, and pray that you would help each of us in all the difficulties we face. Lord, we bring all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, before we end with a final song, thank you so much again for tuning in today. If you want to hear more about following Jesus or learn more about the Christian faith, then let me encourage you to get in contact with us. Details of how to do so should appear on the screen. Otherwise, check out our website.
But if right now you have any lingering questions or want to make contact with us, then there are a number of ways to do that. Firstly, why not join our Zoom Cafe, which today kicks off at 11 o'clock. It's a chance to say hello and meet a few other new faces and also meet others from the church family. You'd be very welcome to join us for that. We'll be there, won't we?
With our noisy kids.
Yeah, bring your kids along and have them. Secondly, perhaps you've been particularly grabbed this morning by something you've heard about following Jesus. Let me encourage you to try Christianity Explored. It's an informal course that looks at some of the big claims Christians make and provides an opportunity for you to ask any questions that you might have. Why not give it a go? There's no long-term commitment to do that, and I'm sure you'll find it useful.
As we finish our time today, we're going to sing a song again, a song that points to Jesus as the saviour we all need. Let's sing.
How marvellous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvellous, how wonderful, stand amazed.
presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and clean. For me it was in the garden he prayed that my will went by. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine.
Shall ever be.